1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Thank you for standing when we read the Bible. The Bible said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Father, I pray that You'd help us now. Lord, we sure need You. God, what a horrible thought, come to church and not to get nothing. So I pray that You'd help us to give us something, to give these folks something. God, that they can leave here and say it sure had been good to be in the house of the Lord. Help us now, I pray, to say the word You'll have us to say, and we'll sure give You the glory for it. In Jesus' name I ask, amen and amen. Thank you, and you be seated. I was talking about Gypsy Smith. He was in travel one time, and he'd gotten on a plane, and a young man came and sat down beside him. And as he did almost all the time, he started witnessing to him and talking to him about the Lord. And he told him about the joys that you could have of being a Christian, the joy that you could have of serving the Lord, and then the joy that you could have whenever you get on that other side. And the young man told him, in just so many words, he said, "It sounds to me like you're just dreaming." And he says, "If I am dreaming, let me dream on. If I am dreaming, just let me dream on." And to the world, that they may think that you and I are dreaming in our Christian faith. They may think that what I have, what you have, amounts to nothing. It's empty, it's void. There's nothing stirring, there's nothing exciting. I've seen people, now hear me now, I've literally heard people ridicule and make fun of folk that might go to church and serve like me and you do. I've heard them just ridicule people that would say amen or praise the Lord, or people that might get excited about being saved. Shout hallelujah once in a while. I've heard them ridicule that. I've even heard that they made a list of people. One time, the choir used to sing a song around here, "I'm Not Going to Hell." And it made the charts. Well, might not have been the charts, but it made the list of people making fun of people talking about not going to hell. And that's okay if that's all they got. But then I've seen them same people go to a ball game or a concert. I even seen them go to a forgive me if I'm wrong saying it like this now. I don't know what it's a Christian concert. And act like everything is just more wonderful there than even being in church. But what I've got, God gave me almost 50 years ago now. And it's still working on me. It still satisfies me. It's still producing joy in me. And I want to preach on just a couple of things. If I am dreaming, let me dream on. Let me dream on. Amen. You ever woke up and thought, man, I was getting right there to that place where we was fixing to eat. Or whatever. And you wondered, is it possible for me to go back to sleep and finish this dream? Well, on my behalf, I'm going to say you can't do it. You may have tried it and you might have done it, but I've tried it. Didn't happen. But I want to just talk about some things that's real. Some things that's real. I want you to notice, number one, God is real. God is real. The Bible says in Psalm chapter number 19 and verse number 1 said, the heaven declares the glory of God and the firmament show His handiwork. Because He's real. He's real. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. It's Him. He's real. John chapter 1 and verse number 3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He's real. He's real. He speaks to us through His Word. Brother Gary preached on, has the Lord ever spoken to you? And you know, a lot of people, we move, Brother John, sometimes we move on our self emotions. We can get caught up in the things that maybe we believe, things that we think might, should be, rather than looking at how God operated in the Old Testament. Is one of the greatest descriptions. You can read, and I thank God, hear me tonight. I thank God for the Pauline epistles. I thank God for how God called the Apostle Paul and made him the apostle to the Gentile. The dispens, he said, of the dispensation of grace. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. But as I look at Paul and I see how Paul dealt with us and taught us and preached to the church how in Corinth and how he dealt with them. And after he goes to Corinth, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, then he's dealing with the people of Galatia, and then Ephesus, and then Philippi and Colossae. And Paul is dealing with these people all separately because there's churches in all these places, and he's teaching them. And he's doing it because God's real. And it all took place one day while he was on the road to Damascus, in Acts chapter number 9. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Paul had taught and learned. He sat up under Galilee and he had learned Old Testament scriptures and Old Testament laws. He said, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had learned so much, Brother Gary. There was nothing you was going to throw at Paul and surprise him of the Old Testament. But you and I, in the day we live in, very few people know very little about the Old Testament. And the reason that's a benefit is the devil working in our lives, because if we don't know how God dealt with these people during these times, we don't know the God of the Bible. I didn't expect a whole lot of amens right there. I thank you for those that did come about. You say, but I know him because he saved me. You know of his grace. What do you know of his patience? What do you know of his long-suffering? What do you know of his anger? What do you know? We was talking one day, I forget where was that, we was talking about this. Me and Brother Leroy was talking about this. What do you know about God being a man of war? What do you know? What do you know about whenever he got so frustrated with man that he was ready to destroy him right there for his sin? What do you know in the book of Exodus? What do you know whenever God gives Moses up on the mountain on the tablets and he writes on them with his own finger the laws concerning the 10 commandments? And he's up there and he gives Moses these laws that are so important that literally when Moses came down off the mountain and he saw the children of Israel and how that they had made a golden calf, he's so frustrated, he's so mad, he breaks them. Anybody read that? And God said, hew thee out two more tablets. I want this settled. I want this known. I'm just telling you, he's real. He's real. He's real. You didn't get up this morning and surprise God with none of your troubles. You didn't lay down last night whenever you was worried and wondering and thinking, how's this going to happen? How's God going to take care of me? What's God going to do with me? How's God going to use me? Hey, friend, I'm telling you, he's got a plan. He's surreal. He's surreal. He's more real to me. One preacher said it like this. He's more real to me than you are. I mean, that's pretty real, wouldn't you say? He's real. Well, how do you know he's surreal? I know he's real because there's so many people against him that never have seen him. Psalm chapter 14, verse number 1, the Bible said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, what a foolish thing to say. One of the first times that the Russian astronauts went up to space, said whenever they were coming back down from space, they were coming down, and said one of the astronauts that was on the spacecraft said this. He says, God, if you're up here, show yourself to us. He said, just like I thought, nobody here. What a foolish thing to say. But can I tell you, troubles and trials will make you call out to God. You can be saved. I've seen lost people that learned how to pray right quick like. I've seen people that was at the end of their rope, so to speak. I mean, there was no food in the house. There was no money to buy gas. Every dime had been spent. Everything was wasted. But can I tell you this? Even at those times when people says, I don't believe there's God, they learn how to pray. They learn how to pray. You want to know how to pray? Let your children get sick.
Amen.
Let your children get sick. You want to know how to pray? Let your children start going astray. You want to know how to learn how to start weeping? You wait till those kids start getting out there and singing, and you can't pull them back in. When one day they're going to walk up and say, hey, Dad, I just want to let you know, I'll see you later. I'm done with all this. I'm gone. I didn't like that old-fashioned church, and I'm out of here, and we're calling it quits. That'll bring a sleepless night. The old songs, that'll be heartaches by the dozens. I knew someone one time, the kids got out like that and got so far away from God. I mean, just so far from the Lord, And that individual had to go and would go around town and just looking for their children and wondering where their kids was. And literally, Brother Tracy, literally went and would gather their children out of a crack house. You say, well, that's just some things you got to do sometime. Really? That's pretty passive, ain't it? I guarantee if it was you having to do it, you'd be calling the police looking for them. You'd be calling the preacher to pray for them. You'd be calling that mom and dad. You'd be calling that anybody you can think of that's not afraid. I'm telling you, because you want somebody to call on this real God. He's real. He's real. My God's real. My Savior, the Lord Jesus, is real. He's real. Peter said this. Peter said, and we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter said, I believe you're real. I believe you are who you said you are. Well, we've got history. The book of Luke, over 500 people testified of the fact they saw him going up. I mean, there's people that came back together when they met, the disciples met in the upper room. He come in there and joined them. I mean, that's pretty real. That's the eyewitness. That's written down that these folks seen them. We went to the hospital the other morning when Kristen was going in the hospital, and we walked in, and the only ones I was expecting to see that I knew there was Kristen and Jeremy. But we walked into the lobby of the hospital, and my doctor was coming in right there. I wasn't expecting to see him. But you know what he said, Brother Gary? He said, everything all right? Everybody doing good? You know what he's doing? He's putting two and two together. Here y'all are at the hospital. Are you okay? Everything okay? Want to make sure y'all right? You know, and a lot of people would say, oh, I don't like him. I don't believe that. He ain't like that. He's not compassionate. I heard him. I'm a witness. I heard him. I seen him. My wife seen him. Brother Jeremy seen him. We spoke to him. He inquired about us. Wanted to know, were we okay? This Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is real. He's real. It's documented that for 33 and a half years he lived on this earth and he traveled on this earth and he went about doing good for everybody that he could. I mean, listen, there was a lot of people who probably didn't like him, and we know the Pharisees didn't like him. We know that the Sadducees didn't like him, Brother Darnell. But I guarantee you, them people that was hungry liked him. Them people that was crippled liked him. Them people that was leprous liked him. Them people that had lost children liked him. Hey, can I give you one more? Them people that follow him now that got saved by the good grace of God, they like him. I like him. I can't hardly talk about him without I'm just telling you, I want to brag on him. I love him. I thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he saved me, Brother Leroy. I'm glad that he's done what he did for me. Hey, changed my life. Amen. I've not always been good to him, but he's always been good to me. He's real. God's real. The Son of God's real. Let me say this. The Holy Ghost is real. The Holy Ghost is real. Why? Or let me say this, how could folk go to church and not believe in the Spirit of God? Can I tell you this? The reason you got saved is because the Spirit of God told you you needed to. You say, I heard the preacher preaching about it. I heard my grandma and grandpa talking about it and everything. I understand that. But until you realize you was lost, until you realize you needed to get saved, I'm telling you, you was just, you had words going in your ear, and they wasn't nothing changing. You wasn't doing nothing different. You've heard of him. You that got saved later on in life, you that got saved maybe in your 20s or 30s or maybe even 40s, I don't know, maybe about 50s or what, 60s, amen. Hey, I'm saying until God spoke to your heart about your personal situation, the Holy Ghost had to do it. Man, he had to do it. He had to do it. Thank God. John chapter 14. The Bible says this in verse number 16. The Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You know who he's called? The Bible said in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. You know, that night that you realized, that morning you realized that you was lost and undone without hope, I'm telling you, God opened your eyes and let you see yourself as a sinner, lost and undone. God opened your eyes and let you see personally, they can't nobody help me, and I'm looking around, and who is it that's going to help me right now? I don't know who it is can help me, but I know I need help. Thank God. Amen. I remember Sister Ashley talking about going to church with Mother Tracy's mama, and she's looking around, and she ain't seeing nobody but people there and the preacher there, but they're talking about somebody else that ain't there, but really he's there, but they couldn't see him there, and how that all them people were weeping and crying, and God the Holy Ghost spoke to her heart. Oh, happy day for that day that God spoke to us and showed us and helped us. I tell you, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God, he's such a blessing. I'm afraid we're living in an hour when most churches have booted him out. I'm going to say that again. You didn't hear me. I said, I'm afraid we're living in an hour A lot of people have learned to have church without the presence of God. They have booted Him out. Nobody's waiting on the Lord to see how God wants to lead. Nobody sees a great interest in being filled with the Spirit. I'm not talking about doing something that's unsupernatural or wild or disrupting or drawing attention to yourself. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you and showing you. Let me ask you. Look here just one second. Get this right here. One second. Do you remember when the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart and showed you that you were not saved and you were not going to heaven? Do you remember that? How could we ever get over that? How could we ever forget? If it happened, if it never happened, I understand. I'm not mad at you if you've never been saved. I'm glad, thank God, that you're here. And I'm hoping that the Lord will speak to your heart tonight and show you something. We need it. Brother Darnell, we've got to have it. We can't live without the Spirit of truth. We cannot live without the Comforter. So what does He do? Number one, He convicts of sin. Amen. I've been saved a long time. And unfortunately, I'm afraid that sin still knocks on my doors. And can I tell you time and time and time and time and time and time again, before I ever answered that door, the Holy Ghost said, don't answer that one. We trust our vision. We look at our phone. When that phone rings, and we say, oh, that's a scam. They trying to sell me more car insurance. I recognize them. I ain't answering it. But sin will knock on the door, and without even knowing what the consequences are, how deep it'll go, or or how far it'll take you, we say, yeah, come on in. Excuse me. It convicts of sin. It points to the Savior. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Points to Jesus Christ. Whenever John baptized Jesus, when they seen him out there, you know what they said about him? They said, behold, John Stephen said, behold, the Lamb of God. He points him out. He's not trying to get recognition for himself. He's pointing to the Savior. I've said this for years and years and years. If you want to know who desires the attention, who wants the attention, it's the Son of God. Be reminded of this. At Calvary, it was Jesus Christ that was crucified. You say, but they couldn't kill the Holy Spirit. They couldn't kill God. They can't see Him. God is the Spirit. I'm trying to get that point across. It was a man named Jesus that died for my sin. And the Holy Spirit of God points him out. He points at him. He saves the sinner's soul. He's still saving. Brother Sammy Mawara sent me a text, I believe it was yesterday morning, from Elder Rick, Kenya, Africa. And he said there was a funeral at the church. They had a funeral of somebody from the church. I don't know if you got that message from them or not, but they didn't even have the funeral. They just had a gathering service. I don't know how they explain all that. I don't know how they do all that. 14 people got saved in that service. 14 people. I said, wow. Maybe I need to come over here and preach. I don't know. I think you'd find out it's a whole lot different in America. This morning we was having the devotion, and he put a message on there. He said, two saved today. Two saved. You say, you believe all them folks getting saved? Why not? He saves the sinners. Did he save you? Is there anybody that you got a little bit of age on you right now? I'm not talking about these young folk because they don't really think they've done a whole lot wrong just yet. That's okay. I understand that. They're good. They're good young men. They're good young ladies. I understand that. Other than the fact that they were born a sinner, I'm not being facetious. I'm talking about they hadn't lived long enough to get out there into a sinful world. Is what I mean. And God forbid that they do. Amen. Lord, let's pray for them. Lord, let the tires fall off the car before they ever get out there. Let the motor blow up and let them have to walk 10 miles in the dark with a bear following them. Whatever it takes to keep them from getting to sin. But for those of us, hey, some of y'all said, y'all ain't on the list. I guess I got to get back over to my friend over here. I know me and him's talked. He knows where I come from, and I know where he's come from, and I'm getting closer to you.
Yes, sir.
We all right?
Good.
All right. Amen. Hey, we know that God has forgiven us of a whole lot.
Amen.
A whole lot.
Yes.
A whole lot.
Yes.
A whole lot.
Yes.
He's still saving souls. Yes. Thank God. He's still saving sinners.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, friend, listen to me. He'll save you if you just realize you need Him. You're lost. You're undone. You got no hope. You got to be born again. You must be. 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 There's no way around it. You must be. You must be born again. Well, I sure appreciate the Spirit of God, don't you? He convicts of sin. He points to the Savior. He saves the sinner's souls. And then once you get saved, you know what He does? He seals you until the day of redemption. Unto the day of redemption. Thank God. Thank God. I can't help but rejoice over that. I heard Sister Joanne talking about one thing she learned since she'd been here is an eternal security. That blessed my heart, Brother John. And I know the old Nazarenes, they didn't believe in eternal security. I was thinking, we just testified, what was the difference between the old Nazarenes and the old Methodists? The Methodists didn't believe in old eternal security. Nazarene, they believed in the Bible. They believed. I'm thinking, they could have been a Methodist. So, whatever. But they believed in holiness. I know that's what they were so stern on it. We're sealed until the day of redemption. You know what the Spirit of God will do? The Spirit of God will help us remember His Word. I better not. That ain't wise. I better not. I got a verse. Where'd you get that verse from? You ain't thought of that verse in a long, long time, and the Spirit of God bring it back to your mind.
Amen.
Right in the midst. If God don't do these things for you, I'd check up on that day. I really would. He helps us remember. And He teaches us God's will. He teaches us God's will. So what is my will? What's the will of God for my life, Brother Edward? I don't know. You know, a lot of people can't bear the thought. They cannot bear the thought of just being a servant. Just a servant. Did you know we're living in one of the greatest hours that's ever been in life where there's a great need of just good men and women in a church? They don't have to be singers. They don't have to be Sunday school teachers. They don't have to be the preachers. They don't have to be the musicians. I mean, just good men that are faithful. They got the gift of tithing, which is also dwindling away. What's happening? What's going on? I mean, in the hour that we live in, I'm not talking about this church. I thank the Lord that when people can, they do tithe and give. And I'm thankful for your response whenever I ask you for something special. Not for me, but for somebody else. I thank the Lord for that. But you know, it would seem to me like every once in a while God would speak to our heart and say, your missionary, he's got a need. And if he don't never speak to you about that, wouldn't it be just a good idea to call him once in a while? I mean, just about every country in the world you can make a telephone call to. I found out last 2 weeks ago that there's one place you can go, you better not be making phone calls. Because at $3 a minute, they had it fast. And I wasn't even thinking about none of it. I'm just on the phone, sitting on the balcony, looking at the waves crashing up on the thing, talking to my little cupcake. 20 minutes later, they recorded every one of them. You know, you've been off like that, and you've seen it too, haven't you? But everywhere else, you just call us. In just a couple of hours, right now, it's almost 8:30, and it's 3:30 in Kenya. And before you go to bed tonight, they'll be getting up for the morning. And I can call Brother Joseph, Brother Sam, Brother Edward Marilla. Brother Edward Marilla's father is very sick. He asks us to pray for him. Pray for him. I'm just saying, God's real. And Jesus Christ is real. Amen. And He's not just a Sunday morning passive thing that I do out of duty. I want to come and visit with Him. The Holy Spirit of God's real. He'll help a young married couple. He'll help folk that's wanting to get married. He made a promise, Brother Larry. He said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. If there's a dispute among folk at church, all it requires is those that have a dispute to get back in the light. Isn't that an easy fix? An easy fix? It's just because God's given us that Bible, that blessed old Bible. Aren't you glad that we got a real God, and a real Christ, and a real Holy Spirit of God? It's all real. And you can find out everything you need to know and want to know about Him in your real Bible. Father, thank You for this time. I pray that You bless, Lord, all that's been said tonight for Your honor and glory. Help us, I pray, Lord. Help us to know, God, that in every step of the way in our life, Lord, You're walking with us. You're leading us. You're directing us. You're teaching us what we should be like. And I want to thank You for that. Have Your way tonight, and we thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name I ask, amen.